Excited to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord. I remember when I left Grot, or grade 7 these days, the teacher wrote on the back of my shirt, "You make me think of a finch in a bush. You never stop talking." So I think your word is so apt, Nadine, but it's for everybody. We need to be able to submit, we as the bride of Christ. And sometimes, listen, we've got two ears and one mouth, and we should use it in that sequence as well. We need to listen more and speak less. And it's an amazing thing this week. I was in the mountain and I just got these two words, celebrate versus tolerate. And I thought to myself, what does that mean? And I started thinking, and then I realized that in our daily relationships with people and with ourselves, we often tolerate each other. But there's a pitfall in toleration, because toleration means that there's an expiry date. There's an expiry time. If you could, ek het nou genoeg gehad. Yeah, does it sound familiar? I just can't do this anymore. And then the opposite of that is celebration. And obviously, I'm thinking in a spiritual, in the house in this morning, I'm so thankful that I am confident that I can say in this morning that the Father doesn't tolerate me. It's much more. So much more. He celebrates me. The Bible says in Zephaniah, when he thinks of me, he gets up from his throne and he starts spinning around. That's how excited God the Father is when he thinks of you and me. He's not in a place in this morning where he tolerates me, but he celebrates me. He celebrates me, warts and all. Amen. I'm no longer where I should be. So, grace is the activation agent, if I can call it that way, that puts me into this relationship with God the Father, where he doesn't tolerate me, but he celebrates me. And what is grace? Grace is the free and merited favor of God toward the undeserving and the ill-deserving. I am a candidate of grace. Amen? Isn't that true? Now, we all know that grace is free. Now, on the way here, I said to Craig this morning, this is like a Velcro sermon. You know what a Velcro sermon is? You can attach it to anything in your life. You can attach it to anything. But grace is for free. It cannot be bought, and you cannot work for it. In other words, when we deserve ill out of grace, God offers us good. Now, on the next slide, I'm going to try and... You can put up the next slide, Timo, please. I'm going to try and summarize the sermons of the last few months. And it's interesting, prophetically, where God is leading us as a church. He's preparing us for something, but God will never take you somewhere where you are not prepared for. Okay? So, The process of salvation is justification. After justification comes sanctification, and after sanctification comes glorification. That's a little bit of systematic theology, all right, 101. Now, in justification, we understand that grace is the key. Faith is the key that unlocks grace over my life, all right? It's there, it's for free, but I have to do something, and I have to put trust and faith in God, and then the whole thing starts happening. And obedience is the key activator, all right? Now, notice that obedience is an act of your will. God will never override your will, all right? I've sat in many services, and there was many occasions that the Holy Spirit spoke to me, prompted me to do things, and I didn't do it. And God never, I never felt, okay, program, enter, and then I'm walking. Nee, het werk is so nie. Jy is nie 'n rekenaar nie. You have to act sometimes. And obedience is an act of your will. So when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, it is important for you to understand that there's something that you have to do, and that something is obedience. All right? I was reminded in the week. So sometimes when you start preparing a sermon, a thousand things comes to mind. But I was thinking of Abraham and Isaac. How old was Isaac when Abraham took him to be offered? 30-something. Scholars say he was 30-something, all right? He wasn't that small little boy in the pictures. No, he was grown up. He was a man already. Sorry. What happened? He came to a place where he started celebrating the word of God to his father. His father knew, out of this child, there's going to be a multiplication, and I'm going to be a rich man in terms of children and in terms of inheritance. And Isaac heard it so many times that he started celebrating that. You hear what I'm saying? You have to get to a place where you start celebrating what God's plan for your life is. Now, in the New Testament, the word for grace is charis, and it can also be translated into gifts. But in the Old Testament, it's very interesting. It speaks about ken. Now, ken means beauty. It's not on the slides yet, all right? Ken means beauty. But there's also another word, ratzol. And ratzol means pleasure. And when you combine beauty and pleasure, what do you get? Grace, love. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. He loved me. He thought of me. He got up from his throne and he started spinning around, because there's a love relationship, a beauty relationship between God the Father and me, even before I was born. He had me in mind. All right? He had you in mind. I was the one that had to respond to that. So that puts to bed the whole Calvinism theory, all right? We are not predestined. Some of you are not predestined. No, none of us is predestined to go to heaven one day, if I can put it in such simple terms. I have the option to accept the invitation. All right. All right, let's go to the next slide. I'm going to go through this very quickly. The process of salvation, it's a summary of this year's teaching, all right? Justification, that's the moment that when I give my heart to Jesus, and I'm going to go quickly through that. I fix my eyes on Jesus. That's the first thing that happens. I repent of my self-salvation strategies. Some of us, for years and years, we go to church and we have self-salvation strategies. I'll work this out. It's me, myself, and I. Okay? You have to repent of that. I believe that Jesus is my perfect righteousness. On the other side, once I've done that, in the process of sanctification. It's a daily thing where I continue to fix my eyes on Jesus. Craig, 2 weeks back, spoke about the hearing the word, the seed that falls into our hearts. It was such a heavy revy to me, you know, a heavy revelation. When I thought, well, that's something that happens every day. It's not something that happened at when I gave my heart to Jesus. I have to continuously repent of salvation, self-salvation strategies. I have to continue to believe that Jesus is the perfect righteousness in me. In the sanctification, it's no longer the Jesus that works for me, but it's now Jesus working in me. All right? I have a new personal power from God, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Can you see this is a Velcro tape? You can preach a sermon on each one of these lines. I have a new consuming desire to walk in God's ways. Some of us stop at justification. I'm now a child of God. Ach, baie dankie, brother. Geseend as jy met 6 kinders. All right. Some of us stop there. I'm saved. I'm happy and I'm on my way to heaven. That's it. Nee, there's something more. Say to yourself, there's something more. There's something more. I have a new consuming desire to walk in God's ways. All right? And yes, I do possess the root of positional justification in Christ. But now, in my process of sanctification, I start bearing fruits. All right? I start bearing fruits. Now, there's a saying that says, I'm going to skip this slide. You can go on. Thanks, Timo. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. It means that what's beautiful to me is not necessarily beautiful to you. And there's many, some of us have, what can I say? It's in our music taste. Some of us like classical music. Some of us like hard rock. Some of us, it all depends on who you are. All right? It's a personal thing. But beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And this is especially true about grace. It begins not with us, but with God. All right? He looked at me. He looked at me. It originates from the way that God chooses to look upon us. And when he looks upon us with favor, then grace begins to operate in our lives. The concept that grace depends primarily on the way that God looks at us or sees us is beautifully illustrated in this next slide. The Levitical blessings. The Lord bless you, and the Lord keep you, and the Lord makes his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. I trust in this morning that you will never ever hear this blessing again without thinking of today, that the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord makes his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turns his face towards you and give you peace. Now, in the intercession this morning, Esther read exactly the same scripture. Now, I want to quickly unpack that. There's 6 stages or 6 parts to this specific blessing. The first one is the Lord bless you. All right? The Lord bless you. Secondly, the Lord keep you. Another Velcro. The third, the Lord makes his face shine upon you. Fourth, to be gracious to you. And then fifth, to turn his face to you and then gives you peace. Now, when the Lord turns his face to his people and he makes his face shine upon us, there's something that happens, and we call that something grace. The Old Testament, you can read various times, the Lord looked at his people. The Lord looked at it. So and so found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Abraham found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Can you quickly say out loud, I found favor in the eyes of the Lord? Amen. Now what happens when Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord, it meant, and the Bible specifically says, his family found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And people started looking at Noah and his family differently, because they had the grace of God upon their lives. And I want to say the grace of God has got something to do with the way that God looks at people. You know that God looks at the meth addict exactly the same way as he looks at the housewife or the child at school or the builder or the project manager. Exactly the same way. There's no differentiation when God looks at us. The problem is, we're now in this mode, if I can call it that way, or in this process of sanctification. And the next thing happens is that we want to start helping God. We just want to give him a little bit of help from our side. All right, next slide. There's some tools there. We always try to impress God. We try to impress God by fasting. We try to impress God by tithing. We try to impress God with many things. I remember very distinctly a sermon that I heard from a guy with the name of Morris Cirillo. He said he was in a gathering, and the Lord told him to give $20. To put $20 in the offering bag. And he felt, I've got much more than that. I'm a multimillionaire. Multimillionaire. And he said, he remembered he had $200 in his pocket, cash. Now this is in the 70s, 80s. It was quite a amount at that stage. And he put the $200 in and he felt so good. And when he got into his car, the Lord said to him, obedience, I asked you to put in $20 and you put in $200. You tried to impress me. You can never impress God. All right? So what am I saying? Shouldn't we tithe? Shouldn't we give offering? No, we should. But there's a difference when I try to manipulate God. All right? When I try, say, Lord, I really need this breakthrough so badly, and I'm going to do this and this and this and this. And if you save my son, I remember when I was in a particular situation, and I said to the Lord, Lord, if you help me out on this one, I will even go to the Ukraine. We try and impress God. And that action is called works. Now, fortunately, there's a differentiation between good works and normal works. Let's go to the next slide. Good works is a natural outcome. All right? It's a natural outcome. That's because when God saves us, he unites us to Christ and begins to infuse his life into us. And I tried thinking of what can I do to many things went through my mind, but this, I remember I was standing at the Niagara Falls and I'm looking at this force of water. This amount of water coming through there. And I want to say, there's no way to be hit with that kind of force, to have that kind of power working us and not change. When the Holy Spirit hits you, You have to change. All right? There's no way. And that, daar is the grond daar, it accepted the change. It worked with it. If you look at the next slide, you will see there the same water, but it tolerated. It tolerated the force. You have to work with the force. If you work with the force, it will create good works. As a matter of fact, the Bible says God called us for good works, to good works. So works is definitely priority. Good works. And to put it very simple and very plainly in this morning, good works glorifies God. Okay? All the other works that I do to impress God, to impress people. I grew up in a church where we had what they called wachtdienste. A wachtdienst. You waited upon the Lord. And we prayed from 6 o'clock in the afternoon till 6 o'clock in the next morning. And I remember how I felt. I always felt condemned. I always felt I cannot pray like these other guys. I do not have it within me. Because after 45 minutes, I fall asleep. It's not even 7 o'clock at night yet, and I'm already sleeping. That kind of religious activity will always bring condemnation. All right? Religious activities will always bring condemnation. Now, there comes times when I'm in a situation where I have erred, where I've done something wrong. Then the Holy Spirit will remind me, convict me of that. All right? Difference between conviction and condemnation. He convicts me of something, and then the responsibility is upon me to fix that. All right? And sometimes that fixing takes some guts. But may the Lord bless you. May His face shine upon you. He's already done that action for you and for me. All right. So good works is a response to grace, and it pleases God. The works of man equals law. And that produces death. The moment that I, and I'm very sure I'm not the only one here. I remember when I was in a church and I expected people to be there. Why are you not here? Oh, you're tired, but you're not too tired to ask the Lord for blessing, eh? That was a religious activity from my side. And I had to repent on various religious activities. So if you come to church, don't come to impress Craig. By the way, there's no attendance register. You don't sign. Just... maybe we should get one, all right? Just help the Lord a little bit, all right? Just trying to help the Lord a little bit. And you know what? The problem is, and I'm sharing from my own experience here in this morning, most religious activities is born from a true desire to see God's people flourish. Who wants to see his children perish? Nobody. So what do? Julle gaan vanmôre kerk toe kom, verragtig ek sal vir julle wys. Okay? You coming to church But when the Holy Spirit hits you and the previous one, there's no way that you can withstand. That force needs to change you. And that's what we should start seeing. We should start seeing the force of the Holy Spirit in you and in me. And when I look at that person on the street, when I look at my family that's not serving God, instead of manipulating them, instead of preaching to them, let's see the end product. Let's see the force of the Holy Spirit that well, the Bible says, if the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it shall quicken your mortal body. If I can start seeing that, instead of saying, you weet, ek ruik hier rook nog, hè? Well, there goes the power. Fortunately, the Holy Spirit is still here. My slides is gone. So you will have to bear with me now. Yeah. Are you a candidate in this morning to say, Lord, I want to be hit by that force? Amen? I want to be hit by that. Now, I'm not sure if it's a blessing in disguise that the next slide is no longer on there, but it's one of the most toughest scripture and one of the most liberating scriptures that you can ever read in Colossians 2, where Paul addresses the law straight on, and we're not going to read through it now. I'm just going to give you some extracts from that very quickly. Verse 14, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements. Now the English says the handwriting of requirements. In the Afrikaans it says die skuldbrief. Where something, when I grew up, I was always had this picture of God in my mind, where he sits and he writes everything down that I'm doing wrong. Ah, Dion has lost his temper. Let me. Dion did this. Dion does this. That was the picture of God in my mind. And then fortunately, tonight, when I pray and I say, Liewe Jesus, sal Jesus blief my hartjie skoon maak en vergewe en goed, then he takes a big eraser and he wipes everything out. I'm confident. And I'm happy to say that's not the way God works. I have been justified, and I'm now in the process of sanctification. All right? So that skuldbrief, that handwriting of requirements, and it actually speaks about the law here, hey? Is wiped out. Wiped out. Which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Verse 16, so let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths. So, do I still keep the Sabbath? No. The new moon? No. The festivals? No. But you know what happened in the church that we find ourselves in today? People start judging each other because we don't keep the Sabbath anymore. No, we're not keeping the Sabbath. We just have a special evening on Fridays. We are in the process of sanctification. All right? Every day is Sunday. Every day is Sunday. Every day is Sunday. Amen? Verse 20, therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as through living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Hey, now. Lalani had a godparent, father, who passed away the other day. And there's one thing, if I think of him, he was in a particular church for many, many years, and he was a very devoted guy there, and he loved the Lord. But when he got this revelation of grace versus law, his wife said that she would not go to church with him every day, or no longer, because they would go into a specific denomination, and when they start reading the law, even if it was just die verkorte weergawe daarvan, he would stand up and say, ons kan nie dit meer lees nie, dominee, ons is nie meer onder die wet nie. was good. But please don't fall into that trap where we live under the law ourselves, the laws that we have made for ourselves. The result of salvation is good works and not religious activities. Those who are saved believe in Christ through faith alone, by grace alone, and they continue to follow Jesus through obedience and good works. Obedience and good works does not create a hierarchy of this guy's more. It's only,
I remember, would you come and pray for us, Pastor? Please, my child is sick. So, yes, I would. No problem, but why don't you pray for him?
No, I can't pray for this child because I've actually lost my temper this morning. The pastor never loses his temper. All right? That's a religious activity that was planned by the devil so perfectly. When he said, only, I'm so fortunate there's no kansel lappie wat hierso sê, so spreek die Here. Because the Lord speaks through you. Amen. The Lord speaks through me. He speaks through every one of us on a daily basis. Okay, I'm going to land this plane. There's a lot to say about stewardship and using your spiritual gifts and talents and time to glorify God and do other good for others. It's our basic Christianity. But how do I apply this in my everyday life? What do I take from today, and how do I go out here and live tomorrow? And I want to just give you a few tips or markers. And the first one is you have to comprehend the fact that God does no longer just tolerate me. He celebrates me. And if I look at my child and I look at my family or somebody that's not saved yet, or my boss or my wife, or if I look at my list of needs, still need healing in this area of my life. Still need healing in my body. There's nothing that you can do that can manipulate God or can change His mind. He's already done it. His face is shining upon us. Romans 8 verse 11, but the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit that dwells in you. I want to say this, the same powers that spoke the universe into existence began to create righteousness in us. Righteous. And if I look at myself and I often get to a place where I feel, Lord, I cannot be righteous in your eyes. There's so many things that I still have to do. But if you understand divine grace, secondly, I want you to allow God to change what He wants. Ask yourself the question in this morning, what does God want to change in my life? Not in Lelani's life, not in Amelie's life, not in Udo's life, in my life. What does God want to change in my life? And then comes this response, accept grace daily. Accept grace daily. Now I want to challenge myself in this morning to accept grace daily, not only in my own life, but also in the way that I look at other people. And then there's a lifestyle. Allow grace to mature through practice. Allow grace to mature through practice.
Hey, die volgende is baie moeilik. Release the need to control. Release the need to control. You know, the Bible actually speaks about that and he says, that's a weakness. And also the need to control other people's life and their walk with Jesus. You know that the anointing is fatty. It rubs off. And the more of the anointing I have in my life, the more fattier. Not that fat, unfortunately. Fattier I will become. And if I touch you, what will happen? The anointing will rub off. Not the need to control you. Not the need to say, oh, you weet, ek wil nie hê jy moet dit doen, ek het jou so lief. Ek wil nie hê jy moet slegte petrokies in jou lyfie gooi nie, hoor. Los nou maar daai. Nee. When the Spirit of God, that force inside me, when I no longer tolerate that, but start celebrating it, working with it, it will change the life of people around me. Spend more time with God in prayer. And then the last one is live openly in the community with the body of Christ. I love the scripture, Acts 6 verse 8. It's one of the most powerful scriptures for me. And it says, now Stephen, full of what? Grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs amongst the people. Somebody can say one day when you're no longer there, oh, Mary, full of grace and power, performed great miracles. How do I do that? I just do that by following the example of Jesus. In John 11:41, it says, so they rolled away the stone. And this is the time when Jesus' best friend, his chummy, the guy that supported his ministry, the guy that went with him, the guy that they had flesh braai with and they watched the rugby together maybe, he died. And he gets the news and they say, Lazarus is sick. That's the first one. Jesus says, Lazarus is sick. And then eventually he says, ah, it's fine. He died. It's as if he changed his mind. But there's a recipe, there's a program or a method, not a recipe, a method. As Jesus looked up to the heavens. And I believe he doesn't say in the word, and it's maybe my own heresy, but I believed he looked up and the Father said to him, raise him up. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. You will see every time in the Word, when Jesus was in a difficult situation, the Bible says he looked up to the heavens. And then he made this bold declaration and he says, Father, I thank you that for hearing me. John 17, Jesus spoke these words, lift up his eyes up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come, your son also may be glorified you. It's in the high priestly prayer of Jesus. When he took the bread every time, he looked up, he broke the bread and he gave it out. When after his resurrection, the people didn't realize, they recognized him. You know how they recognized him? When he took the bread and he looked up and he broke it. Psalm 123 says, to lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens,
Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, and the eyes of a maidservant to the hand of her mistress, to the eyes look to the Lord of God, till he has mercy, till he has mercy upon us. Isaiah 40, there's so many scriptures that I can just quote. Luke 9, the bread. But looking up creates intimacy. Looking into the eyes of Jesus creates intimacy. It signals a dependency. You know, when you get home this afternoon, and I'm not comparing you with an animal, but if you come home this afternoon, those of you who've got dogs, just look at the way they look at you. Treats. They're happy always to see you. But there's something that happens when I turn. Remember, he already is looking at us. There's something that happens when I respond and I look to Jesus. I want to challenge you. I've touched such a wide variety of things. What am I saying? I'm saying there's grace. You are in the process of sanctification. But you've got challenges. I have. What do I do with these challenges? Do I try and rectify them with more works by impressing God? Or do I yield? Do I look into the eyes of Jesus? I've asked the musicians to sing this song. It's an old song. I couldn't think of anything else. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. You might sit here this morning and say, Lord, I've got big challenges. You just don't know. Dion, you don't know what I have. I want to challenge you. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord makes his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turns his face to you and give you peace. Why? Because he found beauty and pleasure in me. Let's stand. I want you to declare in this morning while nobody is looking around. Just declare, thank you, Father. Come on, church, let's say this. Thank you, Father, that you have found beauty and pleasure in me. I repent this morning of works trying to impress you. But in this moment, I'm turning my eyes to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Sing it. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Holy Spirit, move us in this morning.
wonderful face, and the things of the earth grow strangely dim in the light of His glory. And
let's sing it one more time.
Singing, turn your eyes upon Jesus, full in His wonderful face, and the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Thank you, Jesus. Just allow the Holy Spirit some time. Just respond to His Spirit in this morning. Comes and closes the service, I want to extend a request to you. If you really feel that somebody needs to pray with you, there's the intercessors and the cell leaders will pray with us in this morning. While the musicians is going to keep on ministering to us, come forward, and we would like to pray with you in this morning.